This podcast of The Exchange is sponsored by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org. Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Jeffrey Rose, commissioner of New Hampshire's Department of Resources and Economic Development, recently opened a window that's been tightly shut for more than a decade, the issue of Mount Sunapee expansion. Earlier this month, Rose released his draft decision regarding the state park, where the private operators of the ski area have long been seeking to expand. But doing so in a state park can be tricky, where the land belongs to the public and stewardship is a key part of the mission. And so toward that end, the proposal includes conditions designed to protect natural areas and public lands. But some conservationists are still worried about the impact of further development, not just within the park, but outside as well, fearing that growth at Sunapee itself will bring unwanted sprawl in the towns around it. The draft decision is currently in a 50-day waiting period, after which the commissioner will take public comments before a final decision. Today in The Exchange, we're taking public comments. Let's hear from you, your comments, questions, concerns about this possible Mount Sunapee ski expansion. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have three guests for the hour. Joining us from Lebanon is Nate Miller, Executive Director of the Upper Valley Lake Sunapee Regional Planning Commission. Nate Miller, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
Good morning.
Also with us, Frank McConnell, co-founder of the Citizens for Mount Sunapee's Future and owner of Skinner's Ski Shop. He supports the expansion plan. And Frank McConnell, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Tom Elliott. He's a longtime opponent of the Mount Sunapee expansion. And Tom, welcome back to you too. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start with you, Nate, actually, because there's a lot of history here. Just remind us of how we got here with a state park, with a privately run ski area, because up until about 20 years ago, the whole thing was state-owned, state-run, state-managed.
Right. Well, the operation of the Mount Sunapee Resort is a public-private partnership. So you've got a ski area, ski facility, ski infrastructure like trails and lifts that are on state park land and owned by the state. And since 1998, there has been a lease and operating agreement between the state of New Hampshire and the current operator of the resort. And one of those one of the stipulations of the lease and operating agreement is that every 5 years, the resort must present to the state a master development plan that covers the next five-year period. And that is how the West Bowl expansion came about. The 2005 to 2009 master development plan that was proposed by the Mount Sunapee Resort and was released a little more than 10 years ago now proposed the West Bowl expansion. And when we talk about the West Bowl expansion, we're really talking about five things, Laura. A new 5,100-foot quad chairlift, a new beginner lift or moving carpet, 75 acres of new ski terrain, including four top-to-bottom trails, a new base area with guest services and new parking areas to accommodate that. The unique thing about the West Bowl expansion is, as you mentioned in your introduction, it is accommodating that West Bowl expansion as it exists today would include the use of both public and private lands. So in this case, you would have ski infrastructure that crosses state park lands onto private lands.
Well, and just, you know, Nate, I remember doing shows on this whole debate. It was a big deal back in the late 90s, as you said, in the early 2000s. What was happening that led to this public-private partnership even being set up? I mean, just remind us that Sunapee was having some struggles 15, 20 years ago.
Right. At one point, it was at one point the ski facility was actually both owned and operated by the state of New Hampshire.
Like Cannon Mountain, right?
Yes, correct. And for a variety of reasons, that was not successful from a financial perspective. And so I think that was, and certainly Tom and Frank can add context to this discussion. But that was one of the reasons why, in 1998, the state of New Hampshire issued a request for proposals seeking a public-private partnership for the operation of the ski area, and the reason for that being, in part, that that the state of New Hampshire was not an effective operator of the ski resort, and I think that if you talk to folks in state government, they would certainly acknowledge that.
Well, so the private operators came in, again, late 90s, early 2000s, and then what happened to the fortunes of the Mount Sunapee ski area?
Right. Well, Mount Sunapee has been a reasonably successful and profitable ski area, and certainly I think the public-private partnership has been a success, and I think if you talk to both folks within the state government at the Department of Resources and Economic Development, as well as the operator of the resort, they would both tell you that that the partnership has been a success.
Tom, I want to turn to you, but Frank, obviously you too. So back then, again, just reviewing this history a little bit more because it's unusual, how did you feel about the transfer of management to the private operators back then? Again, you know, 15, almost 20 years ago.
Well, so I first got involved in the fall of 1997. When the local newspapers were talking about making a change before any one particular operator was sort of at the table, and participated in the public hearing process through 1997 and into the spring of 1998. And what became very clear to me, having just left several years living in the West, was that there would be no investment at the magnitude being discussed at Mount Sunapee without a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. There would be no multi-million-dollar lifts and trail improvements if they couldn't get their investment back another way. And if you look at the status of the ski industry going back to the mid-1990s and Les Otten and some of the things he promoted at Sugarloaf and elsewhere in New England, it was very clear where the real money lie in this industry. And it's not in skiing. It's in real estate. And so when the Mullers and the Okemo brand came to the fore as the leading contender, many of us ran all over the state trying to figure out what do they intend here, what are the intentions. And their stated intention was to run a better ski area. And in fact, we've got a stack of clippings this high of promises by them, Governor Shaheen, the Commissioner of Dread, saying there will be no real estate development as a part of this lease. This is purely to make skiing better.
Real estate meaning condos for people who come to ski to rent and spend a couple of days.
Right. It was meant to be self-contained within a leasehold within a larger state park where skiing would be the priority. And so in the spring of 1998, when the Executive Council voted 3-2 in favor of this, the major opposition at the time was, what will this portend for the future of the state park and everything else around it? And many of us at the time did not believe that a ski operator would invest $20 million into the ski area and not expect the payoff that comes with the real estate. And I think we stand here today almost 20 years later with that sort of grim prospect staring us right in the face, as it has really since the early 2000s when they admitted to owning private land abutting the state park.
Frank, to you, what has this meant for the park, for the area around it, and maybe even for the whole broader state, this private ownership that started again a while back?
Just rejuvenated it. I mean, around 95, 96, when they would turn on the snowmaking systems, there would be spouts of water coming up the access road, literally out of the ground. The infrastructure was rotting. The infrastructure was gone. And owning a ski shop since 1985 at the base of that hill, kind of looking at this thing going, this is just going nowhere. So I was in favor of leasing, but I wasn't quite sure what kind of bandwagon, how much effort was I going to put into this thing. So March of 1998, at the shop, Commissioner Rob Thompson came into the shop and said, if you're not in favor of leasing, you might as well put a for sale sign on your door right now because we're closing this place by the year 2000.
Really? Because it was just struggling so much.
Yeah. They're not going to fund it. They're going to fund and save Cannon, but not Mount Sunapee.
I remember
that's
that whole
just
debate.
It.
Yeah.
So from there on, I have been an advocate for leasing Mount Sunapee. We have seen slow, steady growth of business. It's not overnight. It doesn't happen just because we have a private operator who is a great steward taking care of Mount Sunapee both environmentally and economically. But economically, now is such an engine for our region, not only for folks like myself who are in the business, but folks who hire people from all over the country to work in their businesses in New Hampshire as one of the assets that are there that their customer base can or employees can recreate.
We invite our listeners to join us, and then I have a lot more questions for all of you. The exchange number for you to join us with your questions, comments, thoughts on this issue of Mount Sunapee expansion, which, as we're hearing, is once again on the table, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. A quick question for you, Tom Elliott. That story that Frank just told us about, look, if someone privately doesn't take this mountain over, we're shutting it down. Do you see it as that dire back then? Do you think that that was really what might have happened?
You know, back then there were a lot of different discussions about how Dred and the state legislature was purposely starving Mount Sunapee so that certain people could benefit from a private lease. I wasn't in the room to hear that, but that was the chatter. It is certainly clear that a choice was made in Concord to sacrifice Mount Sunapee for the sake of Cannon, to mortgage many of the natural public values that matter and were protected for over 100 years at Mount Sunapee to make Cannon better. And I, for one, resented that. I felt like there was probably a better way forward. Once the lease was signed, though, there were no lawsuits. You know, many of us kind of retreated to see what would happen, concerned about the future. But we wanted to give the operator a chance. And it wasn't even 12 months before they were basically speculating and buying land adjacent to the park to prepare for the very type of real estate sprawl that they had promised all of us that they would never, ever take part in. And it's just rolled from there since early 2001. It's been very clear that that's their true intent.
Well, I have an email that just came in from Will. I'll share it with you. Then we'll go to a short break, talk some more. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. So here's what Will says. He says, I'm giving you the short version here, but believe Dred's, that's Department of Resources and Economic Development, current decision is doing me a disservice. I live 5 miles from the back of Sunapee. I like to hike there. I do not mind if there is some trail and lift expansion. I'm strongly opposed to the sprawl that will likely follow and want it stopped. Look at Okemo or Loon Mountain in the Whites, where I also hike. It is vile. He says, I do not want this around my state park, nor do I want it turned into a summer amusement park, which seems to be the direction they are going. Will concludes by saying Dred should forbid any access to the park from potential condo development on private lands. I strongly resist the private land access. Will, thanks for the email. We'll take your emails and calls after a short break, and we'll talk about some of the issues that Will raises, including this concern over sprawl development. You can join us too. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're taking a look at the debate over Mount Sunapee expansion. The State Department of Resources and Economic Development recently gave preliminary approval, draft approval, for the private operators of the ski area to expand. That set off a process of review and hearings and raising a larger conversation about balancing natural beauty with economic development. You can join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Nate Miller, to you on that point that I just made, we're going to talk a lot this hour about the balance between conservation and economic growth. What does that mean to you, Nate, and to the people who live in that area?
Well, I think that the interesting thing about the current proposal and what's been happening and Dred's draft decision is that I think Commissioner Rose in his draft decision uses the word balance many times. Everything about this proposal is a balance. It's a balance between what's happening on public lands and what the public interest is versus what's happening on private lands and what the for-profit interest is. Tom has mentioned the idea, the potential that there could be condominium development adjacent to the state land. what is the level of inextricability between the condominium developments that would happen on adjacent private land and the impacts therefrom with the public interest of having a healthy ski resort and a healthy Mount Sunapee ski area. Another example of balance, for instance, which I think is spelled out in the commissioner's draft decision, is one of these ski trails passes through a polygon, a forest polygon, which is basically a section of forest that is identified as an exemplary natural community. It's an important section of forest. So when you talk about balance, how important is that section of forest where that particular ski trail goes through? How important is it to minimize or have no impacts to sensitive forest areas like that versus having this new ski trail area and having the economic benefits that come from that trail as it relates to the entire West Bowl expansion?
Well,
these are very difficult questions,
yeah.
Laura.
Well, Nate, I hear you, and yet having done all the reading and gotten comments from listeners and so forth, people do mention the forest polygon, and we'll talk a little bit later with someone from the Forest Society about that. But the big issue seems to be for folks, Nate, how many condos will be built or could be built as a part of this and what that means for the surrounding towns.
Right. Well, we do have some idea. And I mentioned earlier that the first time that this expansion was proposed was in 2004 as part of that 2005 to 2009 master development plan. At that time, the commissioner of Dred was George Bald. And George Bald had a policy statement basically that the master development plan by Mount Sunapee needed to present all proposed development activity not only related to the ski area but also for any adjacent lands that the operator intended to develop. And in that master development plan, there was a discussion of 175 to 250 condominium units. So this is not just idle speculation. This was actually documented in a master development plan 10 years ago, and I think that's one of the things that Tom is referencing. The interesting thing is that fast forward 10 years later with the current master development plan, that same discussion of 175 to 250 condominium units is not in there. And thus far, Commissioner Rose has not had the same approach to including what is happening on adjacent private lands in their entirety as Commissioner Bald did 10 years ago. So without that discussion of what's happening as it relates to potential condominium development, many people feel like they're not getting a complete picture of what the West Bowl expansion actually is in its entirety.
All right. Again, the number, 1-800-892-6477. Email us, exchange@nhpr.org. A couple more emails coming in that I want to share with you in a minute. But to you also, Frank, this idea of, a balance between conservation and economic growth, we talk about this all the time. What does it mean to you?
Oh, balance is very important. There's no question about it. And this draft that Commissioner Rose has done is more than a balance of beyond what I thought would happen. Very, very nice. Now, to Will, that lives on the backside of Mount Sunapee, what's going to happen with Will, he has 260 acres of land that is being donated to support the East Bowl Old Growth Forest and 52 acres of lands being donated to support the Polygon D Mature Forest. So Tim and Diane Muller with Jay Gamble have done an awesome job with, obviously, Commissioner Rose to address these situations. So, and there also is an agreement in this article that there will be no further expansion of Mount Sunapee of a trail system whatsoever. So Will in the backyard, he'll be hiking through the trails, and he'll never see another trail again.
This is Will, our emailer.
Your email person. I wanted to get back to that for Will. Secondly, the mature forest. That mature forest has gone from a 4.6 acre of lands was going to be altered to two trails that have been changed out of the Paragon 10 affected area to 1.3 acres of land. And all it is the corridor of the chairlift. They're making it as absolutely as narrow as possible. And on top of that, with a mature forest, Mount Sunapee will be setting up test pots to be able to test the forest that has been disturbed for long-time results of what happens to a forest like this, the mature forest. Again, it's not old growth forest, it's mature. And so where in this state or this particular country, that you have a private organization willing to give up 410 acres of land to do these studies of this type of growth when they disturb a 1.3-acre piece of land.
So that's balance.
That's
in your
balance.
Book.
In my book, that's balance.
Okay. How about you, Tom, and then we'll go back to our listeners.
So I would give up a couple hundred acres of land that's totally unbuildable anyway, and in the case of one parcel, already been protected by state funds. 208 of those acres were protected before the Mueller's were in the picture already. I would give that up for hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate profits too. It's not a balance. It's not a good deal. If anything, this new proposal tips the balance away from a mix of nature and economic development, way toward the side of sprawl and destruction of important natural values that were protected and should be protected on the west side of Mount Sunapee.
Here's an email that came in. We had the email from Will, who says strongly opposed, worried about sprawl. Here's an email from Angie, who says, look to Stowe, Vermont. They've created a world-class resort that involves public lands, and they are expanding it even now. It is adding an incredible amount of money to their tax base. Their town is thriving, very wealthy, limited sprawl to the surrounding towns. Angie says most of that, quote, sprawl isn't new construction for ski homes, but people purchasing homes to visit once a month out of the year and paying their taxes year-round. What about this, Tom? We're still bumpily coming out of a recession. Could this be an economic boost for the area?
It depends on what plan you want to consider. If you consider the plan that's on paper right now, we're talking about $150,000 in tax money and 23 full-time jobs. It's really a bunch of seasonal jobs added up. So it's not exactly an economic flourishment by doing the plan that's on paper. The plan that I think is really intended, that they are not revealing any longer, which is the plan with real estate and condo development, would be hundreds of millions of dollars of construction. And some people will benefit from that. I don't doubt it. More importantly, some very few specific people will benefit from having land become very valuable, both on the mountain and just off to the side. But most importantly, our friends from Okemo will benefit tremendously, and a lot of money will leave the state and not benefit the people of the region or the state.
Joining us on the phone now is someone who's been involved in this issue for a long time. Jack Savage is with us, Vice President of Communications and Outreach at the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests. By the way, the Forest Society has neither supported nor opposed the expansion plan. Jack Savage, good to have you. Welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Well, a couple broad questions for you, Jack, before we dive into some of the details of this Sunapee proposal. What does this whole debate tell us, Jack, about New Hampshire's priorities for its public parks?
Well, from my perspective, I love this debate because of the passion that New Hampshire people across the state are expressing for what happens to their outdoor environment, what happens to their recreational infrastructure, what happens to their natural resource infrastructure. This is really positive that so many people care so deeply. Laura, I wanted to go back a little bit. You started out the show talking about beginning as being in 1948. And one of the important things that forms the debate over Sunapee is how it came to be protected in the first place. And that was through Herbert Welsh, a seasonal Sunapee resident, who worked with Philip Ayers, the first president forester of the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests.
Right. I wanted to ask you that, Jack. Your organization has a long history with Sunapee. Go ahead.
We do, and that's why we continue to be an important stakeholder. And that first 656 acres that's part of the park now was acquired, protected, in 1911, and additional lands were protected over the ensuing couple of decades. And then in 1948, the state essentially condemned the land. It was a friendly condemnation and took it over from the Forest Society. Skiing had been going on in a sort of casual way prior to that. There was a local ski club in the late 1930s that was up on Sunapee skiing, but it was the original origins of the park were for protective purposes. Herbert Welsh was all about protecting old growth in particular, but forest land from the paper companies who were seeking to clear cut it based on forestry practices of the early 20th century.
So given your history, your deep history with this park, Jack, and given your concern for stewardship of forest lands and protection, Why haven't you guys taken a position on this most recent development proposal?
We have lots of people asking that question.
Yeah.
We also have a long history with the state park system. We were involved in its creation. We have other partnerships with the state. We gave the state Mount Kearsarge. We own land that the state leases for Monadnock State Park. We were supportive of the state acquiring Jericho State Park. And most recently, we just facilitated the acquisition of an in-holding to add to Jericho State Park. And we have been long an advocate for public funding of the state park. And so we're trying to walk carefully here in order to understand the pros and cons and understand the benefits and any impacts that would be on the park itself. But we're very mindful of that long history of protection. I think if you look at the constellation of state parks, we have really a fantastic collection, and they range from something like Hampton Beach, which attracts hundreds of thousands of people each year, and is very popular, to other very quiet places. And so one of the philosophical questions is, here's, do we want Sunapee to be more like Hampton Beach, or do we want it to be more of a natural area? And that's where the state is clearly trying to seek a balance. And, you know, we would commend Commissioner Rose and Director of Parks Bill Bryce for following a public process. I mean, he didn't come out and say, this is the way it's going to be. He came out and said, look, here's a draft proposal, and we're going to have a 50-day comment period, and we're going to have a public hearing. And that process is important, and we're trying to work to influence the outcome through that process.
Okay. Well, Jack, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And by the way, if you're interested in the process, in some of the documents that we've been talking about, including this draft plan, you can find it all on our website, nhpr.org/exchange. Again, the number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477, email exchange@nhpr.org. And Tom Elliott, Frank McConnell, Nate Miller, let's go to our callers. Catherine's joining us from Sunapee. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead. You're on the exchange.
Hi. Thank you. I just quick comment. My sister actually lives in Stowe, and I'm responding to, I guess, a email. And she's lived in Stowe in a long time, and actually, as a longtime taxpayer there, you know, people are struggling up there because it really escalates the property taxes. And, you know, resort expansion is really has a harsh impact on local residents, you know, and she talks about it all the time. I live in Sunapee. I was a retailer for 27 years in New London, and some of those years occurred after Okemo took over the lease. I did not see this economic boost. If anything, what I saw was a pull away from Main Street. You know, there was an intentional effort to get people to go to the resort by the resort operator, which I totally understand. But the money is supposed to be spent there. You know, I did not see this boost on Main Street. And as someone who was in business for a long time, you know, I see the same thing happen. All you have to do is drive along Route 103 and you see empty storefronts. And, you know, you can talk to business owners in Newport. You can see in New London, you know, businesses coming and going. They can't keep their doors open. And
Catherine, let me ask you a quick question, and this came up earlier, so I'm glad you called, because Frank McConnell says that, you know, this has been good for his business. If Sunapee had closed, as some people thought it might because it was just struggling so badly, wouldn't that have been even worse for Main Street if the whole thing had just shut down?
Well, one has to accept that that is actually what was going to happen. The other thing that I guess, so, you know, I hear what Frank says. I've always tried to question whether that is really what the state was going to do. I think there was a real effort to starve the resort, starve the state park financially in order to bring leasing forward. And you see in Cannon, there's constantly an effort to, you know, lease that. That is sort of ongoing. And I do worry that, you know, once now that this precedent's been set in New Hampshire, that effort will continue, and two of our great iconic parks could end up being highly commercialized at the cost of, you know, public use.
Okay. Catherine, thank you very much for calling in. Yeah, and I appreciate the point. She's repeating some of the points you made, Tom, earlier, that you're even doubting whether this was necessary or not. I'm not going to go back over that point, but to you, Frank, okay, so she's a business owner, and she's saying, might have worked for you, not working for her, pulling development away from Main Street. I wonder what you think.
Well, you know, pulling development away from Main Street, first and foremost, let's make sure that we all realize that 99.5% of the skier traffic at Mount Sunapee are day trippers. They come to Mount Sunapee, they might stay overnight, they might not, they go home. We do not have and we have a wonderful housing bed in our region, there's no question about it, but a lot of them do not stay. So to get somebody from Mount Sunapee in Newbury, New Hampshire, to go to New London, New Hampshire, to shop the Main Street on a winter's day may not be realistic. Along Route 103, yes, there have been some businesses that have come and gone. My philosophy has always been, yes, the cars are going by your storefronts. It's your job to get them in, and it's your job to take care of the customers. And then they will take care of you. So, again, there's a give and take. It's just because Mount Sunapee Resort has such a terrific track record of running such a wonderful, well-balanced area, it's our job to get our own business. So, also, let's be careful here. We went through some very hard times in the 80s with a market crash. We had 9/11. Let's look at the period of time that we've had in this region where we really haven't had a huge uptick in business.
All right. Well, Catherine, thank you for the call. And here's an email I want to share with you. This is from Drew. He says, I believe DRED, again, Department of Resources and Economic Development, did an excellent job balancing this proposal. The same RSA that provides protection of exemplary natural communities also speaks of promoting access to public lands. The founders of the ski resort envisioned the public to enjoy the land from the trails, and there is a long history of that coexistence back 80-plus years. So thank you, Drew, for that email. We'll hear from you after a short break. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're talking about the recently released Mount Sunapee expansion plan, some preliminary draft approval of expansion from the state. We're taking a look at the details, but also the broader issues that this plan raises, the balance between public lands, private economic development. 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Our guest for the hour, Nate Miller. He's with the Upper Valley Lake Sunapee Regional Planning Commission. Tom Elliott, longtime opponent of Mount Sunapee expansion. And Frank McConnell, co-founder of the Citizens for Mount Sunapee's Future and owner of Skinner's Ski Shop. He supports the expansion plan. One more time, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Gentlemen, before we go back to our listeners, Nate Miller, I wanted to follow up on something with you that Jack Savage from the Forest Society said. He said the state is really trying to figure out with this beautiful Mount Sunapee State Park, which, by the way, includes, you know, hiking trails and a lake, and it isn't just the ski mountain. He said the state's trying to figure out, do we want Sunapee to be more like Hampton Beach, you know, very active, very busy, very commercial, or more of a natural area? I wonder what your thoughts on that are as well, Nate Miller.
I think they want it to be more of a natural area. I think they want to support they want the ski resort, I believe, to be viable in the current business environment. They want to put the ski resort in a position to be successful. But I think when you go through the details of what are in the draft decision, I think there's a lot being proposed here that does help to keep Mount Sunapee a natural area. And we've heard a lot of comments so far on the draft decision. We've received them in writing. You've heard some of those comments on the program today, and I would say that people seem to be As it relates to some of the big questions, the idea of transferring some of those West Bowl lands to the state park, the idea of some of the land transfers that have been proposed in Commissioner Rose's draft decision, do help to maintain the natural beauty of the state park, and there is potential for condominium development adjacent to the state park.
Well, if I could ask you about that, Nate, because we keep coming back to that. Aren't those decisions in terms of whether large condo developments, no condo developments, small condo developments, aren't those decisions made at the local level through town planning and zoning boards?
Yeah, they're absolutely made at the local level, and ultimately any decision about condominium development, if they were approved, would certainly happen at the local level. I think the difference here is that 10 years ago, DRED required the resort to put out front what their thoughts were as it related to the private lands that abut the state park. That hasn't happened in the same way in this master development plan proposal. So there's sort of this question mark out there amongst some people in the public about what is the scope and scale of the condominium development that would be proposed as a result of this. I think part of that is probably that the resort doesn't quite know what the scope and scale of the condominium development that they would propose, if any, actually is. But 10 years ago, it was laid out at a scope and scale of 175 to 250 units, and people are really they wonder, is that the same scope and scale that we're talking about now, or has it changed either to the downside or to the upside?
All right. Well, go ahead, Frank, and then we'll go back to our listeners.
Thank you. The one thing that has changed since in 2013 is the great people of Goshen established the Mount Sunapee Recreational District. And in that recreational district, no housing or commercial development can be done without a variance. Now, granted, this is going to go to local boards if this ever does happen.
What is a variance?
Variance is there are five criteria in a variance that you have to explain and convince a zoning board that there's something unique about the property, that the welfare of the people would be better off if it happened. It's very hard to get a variance. It's a higher bar. I sat on zoning boards before, and we did not give many out at all. But it's not, and it's an updated zoning ordinance of 2013. So really,
don't compare it
to the past, because there wasn't a zoning ordinance in 2004. They just took a dart.
Well, that's
went
not
like
true,
this.
Frank. They've had zoning since the 60s.
And well, they have, but not like this.
It is entirely unclear. By all experts have looked at it, whether or not Goshen zoning does prevent or enable this kind of expansion. But I have to say, I fundamentally have to point out that there would be no real estate development on the West Bowl were it not for the state of New Hampshire and potentially Governor Hassan approving it. That land has been undeveloped for centuries, right? Never had any kind of real estate pressure. Only through state action, only through fusing public and private, only through enabling and magnetizing that real estate through state action is that possible. So I reject the premise that it's this up to the local communities thing. Jeff Rose and Governor Hassan will be responsible for real estate on the west side of Mount Sunapee. That is a fact.
All right. Let's go to our listeners. Lots of people want to jump in on this conversation. And Michael is joining us from Concord. Hi, Michael. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead, Michael.
I don't see why we would not build at Sunapee. As they've stated, everybody comes there every day and stays anyway. It's down where the most population is in the state. We're going to save resources. Why have everybody drive all the way to North Conway to go skiing or to Vermont? We might as well just stay in our own backyard.
So, Michael, you ski at Sunapee?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So why travel all the way? What do you think about that? I guess I'll turn to you, Tom Elliott. You know, people want to ski. Why not have them stay close to home?
Well, let's go back to balance. We have a state park with a couple thousand acres. About 900 of them are already developed for skiing. Okemo has been offered different ways to expand skiing within that existing footprint, has chosen not yet to do it, instead wants to seek a larger ski area that just so happens to abut private lands. This isn't about skiing. I would question whether we have enough skiing yet in New Hampshire. I mean, there's not a lot of ski area expansion going on. The only places you see it, like far up potentially in the Balsams, is where you can surround it with thousands and thousands of millions and millions of dollars worth of real estate. That is the business. And we are really fooling ourselves if we think 208 acres of already protected land and another 52 acres of land that's completely unbuildable and nowhere near the zone of development we're talking about somehow mitigates the impact of this expansion.
So you're saying there's plenty, to respond to Michael, there's plenty of skiing. This isn't about skiing.
Well, if we need more skiing at Mount Sunapee, let's talk about skiing. Back in last fall, I left the Friends of Mount Sunapee and made a statement in the Union Leader that said, if the Mullers will commit to only doing skiing and no real estate development, I will stop opposing this expansion. Now, I didn't say I'd support it. I think it's a bad deal all around. They are unwilling to commit to that. In fact, as recently as last week in the Union Leader, Jay Gamble, who's the general manager, refused to answer the question, are you intending real estate development? If you read Commissioner Rose's draft response, it is littered with little Easter eggs that helps them get the very real estate they always wanted and told us about 10 years ago. That's the fundamental issue. Should the state enable and magnetize and amenitize that kind of private development in a place where it is not going to happen otherwise?
Well, here's an email to this condo issue that we keep getting to, and this is from Thea. Thank you, Thea, for the email. She says, condominiums are not necessarily a financial windfall. I was an employee of American Ski Company at Attitash when Les Otten built the Summit Hotel at Bear Peak. The hotel has struggled for years to be profitable. It is isolated from the attractions of North Conway. New condos in Goshen, and for the uninitiated, that's one of the towns around Mount Sunapee, may well have the same issue, especially in the current real estate economy. Now, here's what Thea says. She says, I suspect this lesson has not been lost on the Mullers, so I think people's concerns of instant, larger-scale development may be unfounded. Nate Miller, to you first. What do you think about Thea's point? She's got a lot of experience in this issue.
I'm no expert in the economics of ski area real estate development, but looking around at some of the other ski areas within our sort of the greater northern New England area, it does seem to be a popular part of the business model. And given that it was actually presented as part of the master development plan 10 years ago, I would expect that it is very much still on the table. And I think the reality is that the resort is probably doing their homework right now from a business perspective and looking at pro forma spreadsheets and all of that sort of stuff to determine whether or not what scope and scale, if any condominium development is in their financial interest from a business perspective. I don't know that they've got that answered yet, which is I think one of the reasons why the resort is not willing to say yes or no as it relates to that question.
Yeah, Frank, what do you think?
I think when it comes to this type of development, condominiums, that's dated. It's a dated thing. There's condominiums on the market you can purchase right now. Right across the street from Bob Skinner's, I have Mountain Edge, which has 47 units, and there are plenty for sale. It's not the go-to development any longer, as far as I'm concerned, with what I'm seeing happening in our industry. We have to remember, we are an industry. We are the tourism industry. We bring a tremendous amount of dollars to this state. From all over the world. Yes, they want to stay here, but there's other ways of other housings that's already in the region that this may be a moot point. Again, it's not on the table because it's simply not on the table.
I think those condos are for sale because they're not connected to skiing. You can't ski directly from them onto the state park. But I have to say, I think Nate's being entirely too kind to the motivations for why the real estate is not in this plan. It's not in this plan because very highly paid public relations specialists, name brand people in New Hampshire, are advising the Mullers to stop talking about real estate and not admit to it. But if you look at the plan, if you look at the draft decision, you have Commissioner Rose using the term let them keep their land until 2028 so that they can meet local density requirements. Okay, ski area development does not need density requirements. Only housing does. It's very clear that Dredd and Okemo have put forth an incredible public relations effort to make you look over here, look at public land being protected, look, it's only skiing, look, we're going to do good things 10 years from now, look, some jobs and some money. The pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is going to be there. And I will say this. If there is no real estate development, you will never see a ski lift on the west side of Mount Sunapee. There is no economic model that would make sense to put skiing in that area. And that's why there's no skiing, and there has never been skiing there. Until you put the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, it's going to be forest.
again, if you want to take a look at that draft that we keep talking about yourself, it's on our website, nhpr.org/exchange. Gentlemen, let's try and squeeze one or two more callers in if we could. And Gerald's in New London. Hi, Gerald. You're on the Exchange. Go ahead.
And thank you. I'm Jerry Coogan from New London, New Hampshire. I just have some observations. One, I've done research on second home development in the greater New London Centipede area. I think land is very limited for residential development. Number two, I think the towns like Newbury, Centipede, and New London have an aggressive zoning program in place. And I think real estate today is very speculative. Today's market of 2015 is entirely different from 2005. I recall the developers wanted to develop the so-called door property adjacent to Mount Centipede near the beginner slope. They tried it in 2005, got their approval in 2008, and then basically abandoned it. My bottom line is the Mount Centipede deal has saved two mountains, Mount Centipede and Cannon. And Cannon is a great place to ski in. The mountain is good, and I'm going to leave it off right now. I think it's just a good example of a public-private partnership that works.
So you like this. You think that, you know, the expansion of Centipede would not only help the region, but also could bring more dollars to Canada. We mentioned that earlier, but
exactly.
You're in general in favor of this.
It's a great deal for New Hampshire, and Commissioner Rose has crafted an excellent state. And it's an example of public-private partnership. Up in Franconia, the Franconia Ski Club is going to spend $2 million to relocate the race area from Gary's over to Mittersill, totally funded privately. The state of New Hampshire would have never done any of these improvements.
All right, Gerald, thanks for chiming in. And let's get one more in. This is Betsy in Goshen. Go ahead, Betsy. You're on the Exchange.
Yeah, hi. To clarify, I'm not actually in Goshen currently, although I did grow up there.
Okay.
And I also grew up skiing at Mount Centipede. My family skied there every winter, and my skis came from Frank's ski shop at the base of the mountain.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And so I have to say that the ongoing discussion around this issue, it really is, it's something I've spoken out against in the past and will certainly continue to. It makes me really sad because I think over the years I've seen a number of times the small community I grew up in fight larger organizations that have a lot of money. And despite the community repeatedly speaking out against the desire for this sort of growth and development, the push continues. And I think it's very hard for communities without a lot of financial resource to resist in the long term. I think we also need to consider the larger policy implications at the heart of this, which is really like, do we want our state parks to be leased out to private companies for mass development? Centipede, Newbury, that area is not Hampton Beach, and I don't think any of us that cherish the area wanted to become that.
Okay. Betsy, thank you very much for jumping in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we do have to close out, and I did want to make sure that folks listening have the information that they need. Nate, what's next in this process? There are a couple big steps coming up.
Yes. On Tuesday, May 5th at 6 p.m., there will be a public hearing at Mount Sunapee Resort at the Sunapee Lodge. I will co-facilitate the public hearing with Commissioner Rose. This, as we've been talking about all morning, is a draft decision that's been released by the Department of Resources and Economic Development. They are taking comments on their draft decision. And so there is. This is an important way to have your say about what DRED is proposing here, and we hope that there's a very strong turnout and that people come in and voice their people come out on the 5th and voice their opinions. Following that, there is a written comment period comments can be submitted in writing to the Department of Resources and Economic Development by regular mail or by email. And I think the email address is mountsunapeecomments@dred.nh.gov. And written comments will be received by the state until the close of business on June 5th.
You know, Nate, just to close out with you, is this a done deal? Is the state holding these public hearings just to make people feel good? Or is this really, you know, in play?
No, I get the sense from talking with Commissioner Rose that this is truly a draft decision, and if comments bring out substantive items that haven't been addressed or considered to the extent that they should be considered, DRED, I believe, is open to revising that draft decision and potentially substantially.
All right. Well, again, if you didn't catch any or some of the information that Nate just gave us, it's all on our website, nhpr.org/exchange, including the documents and that email address to submit comments. Nate Miller, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Nate Miller, Executive Director of the Upper Valley Lake Sunapee Regional Planning Commission. Tom Elliott, Frank McConnell, it was good to have you too. Thank you so much for being here. Tom, good to see you.
Thank you.
Tom Elliott, longtime opponent of the Mount Sunapee expansion. And Frank McConnell, thank you also for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Frank McConnell, co-founder of Citizens for Mount Sunapee's Future and owner of Skinner's Ski Shop. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. Thanks for listening. I'm Laura Kanoy.